and become a BAI buddy today.
Yes, won't you become a WBAI buddy today? A sustaining member of WBAI for $10 or more a month? Yes, keep WBAI in mind for your year-end giving. Put aside some of that Christmas shopping and help WBAI pay the rent. 212-209-2950 is the number that you can call to make a tax-deductible donation in support of the radio station to which you are tuned. 212-209-2950, or give online at WBAI.org. Follow the links for making a contribution. And we do thank you so much for your kind consideration. It's a little past midnight. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 on the FM dial and streaming at WBAI.org. At 1 a.m., we will hear All Mixed Up with Peter Beauchamp. But right now it is time for the Jimmy Dore program. And I have to remind you that the following program will contain frank language. If you feel you may be offended by frank language, the language of comedy, you must tune away right now and rejoin us in an hour for All Mixed Up. So you have been warned, and now we plunge headlong into the Jimmy Dore Show. You're on WBAI New York.
Hey, this is Jimmy. Who's this?
Jimmy, this is Alec Baldwin. Calling you from the city that never sleeps, the Big Apple, the center of the universe, New York City.
Yes, the city's so nice, they named it twice.
That's a common misconception. Second, New York refers to the state, which is also coincidentally named New York.
I see. You're a real New York guy, aren't you?
Yes. I always have been and always will be. I was born here, and it is my home.
Well, it's nice. That's nice.
And it is as a native New Yorker that I must praise Mayor Adams for his bold announcement.
What announcement was that?
That henceforth, unhoused peoples can now be involuntarily hospitalized by the police for mental illness, even if they pose no threat to themselves or others.
Really? That sounds like a terrible idea.
And why would that be?
First of all, you don't want to make a situation worse. And I mean any situation worse, and I mean any. All you have to do to make a situation worse, add cops. Cops breaking up homeless encampments and dragging people to hospitals against their will. This is a recipe for disaster, Alec.
Well, who else is going to do it?
How about nobody? How about nobody forces people into medical care against their will?
Well, as a lifelong resident of the city, I have perfect faith in New York's finest to exercise these duties judiciously and with restraint.
Is that so? You know, they don't really have the greatest track record, right? Well, that's because you're rich. And I must say, for someone who gives lip service to progressive values, this doesn't sound like a particularly progressive take.
Jimmy, I'm a progressive up to a point. And that point is seeing people that I do not wish to see. When I am being motored about Midtown in my double-decker town car, large enough to hold my 18 children.
Yeah.
I don't want my family to see the seedier side of New York. It makes them lose faith in municipal governance. And there is nothing more heartbreaking than looking into the eyes of a three-year-old child and seeing them lose faith in municipal governance.
I see.
That's why Mayor Adams' bold initiative is so refreshing. It shows that American cities can solve their own problems without relying on state or federal action.
Well, even if it violates the civil rights of the residents of that city?
Jimmy, please. I am confident that the police will ground up and involuntarily commit people of all races, faith, and sexual orientation. My commitment to civil rights remains solid.
Never mind.
These bold initiatives are happening in cities around the country, and I am thrilled.
Such as?
Just recently, the San Francisco City Council allowed police robots to use lethal force when necessary.
Oh, I wanted to cover that. You're right. And you think that's good?
Of course, Jimmy. Think of all the blue lives that will be spared.
Because robots can go around shooting people? Sorry, that sounds like a dystopian nightmare to me.
Jimmy, don't be ridiculous. These civil enforcement robots won't be armed with guns.
Oh, yeah? Well, what's their lethal force? What? I beg your pardon. I didn't realize robots killing people with bombs is much safer. Yeah, I agree.
Jimmy, cut the shit. Cities must lead on these issues. The Constitution was written for a primarily agrarian society. But now American civilization is primarily urban. The American city, be it New York or San Francisco or New Orleans, is one of mankind's finest creations. We must trust these entities to fend for themselves.
Houston, the fourth largest city in America, just had to give a boil notice for its entire population of several million. The whole city has to boil their water, Alec.
Houston is a cesspool. Just because that cultureless swamp can't provide clean drinking water to its hapless residents doesn't mean I should have to see homeless people on my way to get bubble tea with my 19 children.
I thought you said you had 18 children.
Ilaria just gave birth a few minutes ago.
Well, congratulations, Alec. I've been to Houston. It's pretty great, actually. It's a thriving multicultural metropolis.
Well, I haven't been there, but it just seems like it would be bad.
Do you think that you may be living in a bubble and only want things that will make life better for your fellow bubble dwellers?
Jimmy, these aforementioned American super cities would not thrive without the presence of a pampered elite. People whose every whim must take precedence over the welfare of the hoi polloi. It's how it's always been, since the very first Sumerian city-states. Who do you think patronizes the arts? Pays the taxes that pay for all the fancy buildings, undertips minimum wage workers that serve us and can't afford to live in the city. We do, Jimmy. You and me.
Me? Don't lump me in with this.
Jimmy, you and I are birds of a feather. City boys through and through. Enjoyers of fine things. Raconteurs.
Well, whatever you think I am, Alec, I'm not someone who thinks we should address the homeless problem by sweeping them under the rug.
Couldn't be possible. Anyway, Jimmy, I have to go. There's a homeless man who's been sleeping outside my building, bothering no one. But sleeping outside seems like a mentally ill thing to do. I think it would be in his best interest if I alert the authorities.
Oh, Jesus.
Establishment media sucks. All gaslighting, so good luck. Bullshit we can't afford. Why fomenting this? Watch and see as his jackal comedian speeds and jumps the medium and hits him head on. It's the Jimmy Dore Show.
The Democratic-controlled House, controlled by Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats, urged by Joe Biden, just screwed over workers. How did they do that? Well, the railroad workers have real leverage, and they could go on strike. And the Biden administration won't let that happen because he just told Congress to frickin' impose a settlement on these railroad workers. See how that impose? Impose. They don't even hide it. They're going to impose a deal on the unions. And these are, by the way, these are the same Democrats that have, you should have seen this coming. They evoke Ronald Reagan in every goddamn speech. So, of course, they're going to screw over the workers. The U.S. House moved urgently to head off a looming nationwide rail strike on Wednesday. Man, isn't it amazing how fast they can move when they have to screw over workers? Hey, still haven't gotten clean water to Flint? No. You know, the city of Houston is on a boiler water alert, by the way. Houston. Houston has 8 million people in it. Everybody has to boil their water. This country is falling apart. Anyway, back to this. So they passed a bill that would bind companies and workers to a proposed settlement that was reached in September, but was rejected by four of the 12 unions involved, but the biggest unions involved. Like half of the members voted against it. Isn't it amazing? These guys, they can't do anything except, hey, we got to get $100 billion to the most corrupt country in Ukraine. Done. Hey, we want to get some clean water to the people in Flint. Never happening. Hey, we need to get healthcare to the people. Go pound sand. Hey, people are going bankrupt from medical bills. Go eat it. But we need to screw over workers. Done. Done. Day one. Done. The measure passed by a vote of 290 to 137 and now heads to the Senate. If approved there, it will be quickly signed by President Joe Biden, who requested the action. You can call Joe Biden sleepy and senile all you want, but look how fast he could move to screw over workers when he has to. Am I right? He might have a brain with more holes in it than a Swiss cheese. But when it comes to screwing over workers, Joe Biden is on it. Good thing you guys just voted blue, huh? Good thing you guys voted blue for the Democrats. Now do you understand why people... So when the Democrats... So this is what Mark Ruffalo said, that Democrats are enabling fascism. First of all, Democrats are fascist. This proves it. They're coming together for the government and corporations to screw people, the workers. This is called fascism. And the way this enables them to vote Republican, which is what he meant. The reason why now do you see why workers were willing to take a chance on a game show host with a raccoon for a haircut? Now do you understand that? Now do you understand why people are willing to vote for right wingers or anybody? Now do you understand why? Because there's nobody who represents the unions. The Democrats screw them. The Republicans screw them. That's why. So they're willing to take a chance on a game show host. And Joe Biden gonna quickly sign it. And this is CNN, by the way, is that they're hailing this as a largely bipartisan bill. Because that's what that says. That's largely bipartisan bill. Or as George, you know, when something bipartisan happens, George Carlin put it well. He said the word bipartisan usually means there's some larger than usual deception is being carried out. And so that's what this is. They're acting like they're saving the economy and they're helping workers. They're screwing workers. Mm-hmm. Biden on Monday asked Congress to intervene and avert a rail stoppage that could strike a devastating blow to the nation's fragile economy by disrupting the transportation of fuel, food, and other critical goods. Business groups, including the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and the American Farm Bureau Federation, warned that halting rail service would cause a $2 billion per day hit on our economy. Huh. That means that the workers have a shit ton of leverage. And what Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats just did was take their leverage away. So if there was a strike, you know what this means? This means the strike would be over like that and the workers would win. That's why they're making Joe Biden do this. Who's doing this? Business, corporations, the people Joe Biden serves, you stupid. He doesn't serve you. No matter what fucking Rob Reiner tells you on Twitter, the Democrats are your enemy, just like the Republicans. Business groups, so a $2 billion hit per day. So no matter what it takes, we're going to spend. And no matter how long it takes, no matter how much money it takes, we're going to spend on Ukraine in this unwinnable war with Russia. No problem. But paid sick leave for actual workers in America, we can't afford it. We can't even afford to worry about it. Nothing says so. the bill imposes a compromise labor agreement brokered by the Biden administration that was ultimately voted down by four of the 12 unions representing more than 100,000 employees. The unions have threatened to strike if an agreement can't be reached before December 9th deadline. Boy, nothing says class solidarity like imposing a labor agreement. So now what are the union members supposed to do? Vote Republican, right? Is that what they're supposed to do? So, Craig, let me bring you in. What do you think? So did you know this? There's one more thing. So Nancy Pelosi then did this. Now, this is a trick. She then had a second vote Wednesday that would add 7 days of paid sick leave per year for rail workers covered under the agreement. The rail workers want 15. Nancy Pelosi isn't going to allow them to negotiate that. She's going to impose this, and she's going to give them 7 days, but she's not really giving them 7 days. And why didn't they put these together in the same bill? House Speaker Nancy Pelosi responded to that concern by adding a second vote Wednesday that would add 7 days of paid sick leave per year for rail workers covered under the agreement. However, it will take effect only if the Senate goes along and passes both measures. I have a sneaky feeling that the Senate is only going to pass one of those measures. Which measure do you think it is? So do you see what they're doing there? Nancy Pelosi is giving her and her Democrats cover to vote against workers and take away their right to organize, which is what she just did. And she's going to do it hiding behind, but we gave them 7 days paid leave. First of all, why not just give them 15? Because they ain't getting it. Because the Senate, well, we'll see. So now the Senate could vote against that 7 days and still keep the other agreement, and workers are screwed. So I would say both of those measures passing are probably as likely as her having no burglar alarms at her house. Craig, let me bring you in. Craig, what do you,
I'm glad you brought up the separate vote, because I was going to mention that, because I wanted to clearly put out there that is what they're doing. They're providing cover for themselves with this whole thing, adding the 7 days, because supposedly this was the main discrepancy of the argument, was the sick days. And this situation does remind me so much of when, and I was very young, when Reagan with the air traffic controllers, that whole situation, eventually forcing yes. them to get to work, taking away their leverage. But that's why shows like this are so important, to deconstruct the news, because immediately right out there, the kind of rhetoric and the narrative they're putting out there is that the Democrats are coming to the table to save the day, mm-hmm. that they're going to force a deal that wasn't able to get done, and that's how they're going to spread it. But immediately, like you said, Jimmy, what are you going to do? You're going to vote for the Republicans? There's Republicans like Josh Hawley out there. I see they're already putting out tweets. Oh, Biden's forcing workers to take a deal and taking away their leverage that they don't want to take. You know, so immediately the political spin comes into play. And at the end of the day, you have to look at it. The 7 sick days that they voted on, it kind of reminds me of the whole, remember the debt cancellation bill?
Yeah.
Even though they put it into play, they'll find a way to make sure it doesn't become law, and they'll find a way where these workers won't be able to get those 7 days. Therefore, their donors will be happy and everybody will be happy, and these people will be forced back to work. But at the end of the day, they're taking away every bit of leverage that these workers have.
Well, here's what Marco Rubio says. The railway and workers should go back and negotiate a deal that the workers, not just the union bosses, will accept. But if Congress is forced to do it, I will not vote to impose a deal that doesn't have the support of all the rail workers. That guy is sounding like what a Democrat is supposed to sound yeah. like. And the Democrats are there screwing the rail workers. And now you're letting a guy like Marco Rubio look like FDR. This is because of the corruption of the Democratic Party. Now, that doesn't mean that the Republican Party isn't just as corrupt, but this is why this is allowed to happen. He's allowed to outleft the Democratic Party, because the Democratic Party is a right-wing fucking party that's anti-worker, pro-Wall Street, and pro-war. And you guys think you just saved democracy by voting for them. You just voted for the fucking fascists, the Democrats. This is, so let me go back to, so Nancy Pelosi, she comes up with yet another sneaky way to screw over workers. This is another trick to fuck over workers on her way out the door. She should write a memoir about the time she spent as a public servant. It would be called From Hell's Heart, I Stab at Thee. The call for more paid sick leave was a major sticking point in the talks. The railroads say that the unions have agreed in negotiations over the decades to forgo paid sick time in favor of higher wages and strong short-term disability benefits. You know, the railroads also reduced their workforce by about a third. Mm-hmm. So now these guys have to work crazy hours. They get one day off a month, stuff like that. That's how crazy it is for these workers. The unions maintain that railroads can easily afford to add paid sick time at this time, that they're giving record profits. One company made $1 billion just in the third quarter. Profit. And they won't give sick leaves to their workers. They're making insane profits.
I have a quick question, Jimmy. Pete Buttigieg got how much time off for maternity leave exactly?
Pete Buttigieg got 2 weeks off because him and his husband had a baby.
Just 2 weeks?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. 2 months.
Uh-huh.
Did he take 2 months? Is that what he took? And why do railroad workers need health, sick days? You know, railroad workers are notoriously higher rates of cancer, right? And every day they're exposed to substances that make them sick. Asbestos, which is found in pipe insulation, electrical panels, and the lining of brake shoes. Silica dust, created from the silica sand used for traction on the tracks and from moving ballasts. The granite gravel spread around the railroad bed. Exhaust from diesel locomotives. Solvents used in cleaning equipment. Railroad ties are treated with creosote. Lead paint on bridges and other structures and equipment, fumes from welding, herbicides, weed killers that are used around the train tracks. All these chemicals they're exposed to every day. And it gives them bladder cancer, colon cancer, kidney, throat, lung, leukemia, lymphoma, multiple myeloma, and mesothelioma. And also some non-cancers, such as asbestosis and chronic obstructive pulmonary disorder. I'm sure Biden's bill is better than nothing, right? I mean, short-term disability benefits would cover the first 3 days of chemo. See? Democrats do care. Quite frankly, the fact that paid leave is not part of this final agreement between railroads and labor is, in my opinion, obscene. Who said that? Democrat Jim McGovern from Massachusetts. Guess who voted for this? Democrat. They all voted for it, by the way. Almost all of them voted for it.
19 Republicans joined them. And Jimmy, like you were saying, it's almost impossible to switch out with the lack of force, the way they downsized. It's impossible to get a day off. So if you have like a wife having a baby and stuff, like there have been situations where they couldn't even get the time off because it's almost impossible. And that was the main part. And it's a point penalty system. Like they get a certain amount of points, so it counts against them if they take days off for whatever reason.
Nick, friend of the show, Nick Cruz says, can y'all imagine if Donald Trump betrayed rail workers the way Joe Biden did? The progressives would be calling him out and calling him every name under the sun. But under Biden, they're afraid to publicly say his name. This is the partisan bullshit that makes my skin crawl. Yes, they are. They are afraid. Bernie and the squad only calling out the rail bosses as if Biden has nothing to do with the current situation. Then in 2024, they will gaslight you about Biden and the Democrats, claiming voting for them will lead to progress. How are y'all not tired of this effing game? You want to hear from a rail worker? Here's what a rail worker has to say.
Well, unfortunately, the most labor-friendly president, quote-unquote, we've ever had, basically has opted to side with the Class 1 carriers, Class 1 rail carriers, because he had the opportunity, and he's had that opportunity since this whole debacle began, to basically urge, coax, cajole, and otherwise badger and bully the rail carriers into meeting what are very, very modest demands of rank-and-file railroad workers. And in his latest request here to Congress to legislate us basically back to work before we even had a chance to strike, under the terms and conditions of the tentative agreement, which is not very popular with the rank and file. We have unions that represent 55% of rail labor have voted this contract down. And so we could have seen Biden actually opt for telling Congress he would like to see Congress pass legislation that mediates an end to the conflict under which more favorable terms to the workers, which is to say a handful of sick days. And that's what this has come down to. Railroad workers traditionally have had no sick time. And now with the very, very harsh attendance policies that we're faced with, railroad workers get very, very little time off work. And it has come to a crunch point. We're seeing workers leaving the industry in droves, in numbers never, ever believed possible. People with 15 and 20 years seniority are leaving the industry. And there's a crisis out there. And I don't believe the Biden administration quite understands the depth of this crisis. Since I entered the industry more than a quarter century ago, I have watched as the rail industry has made record profits. The operating ratio when I hired in, I believe, was somewhere in the mid-80s. It dropped into the 70s, 60s. The rail industry is hell-bent on achieving a 0.50 operating ratio, and who knows where they might even want to go from there. Stock buybacks has reached record proportion. The dividends that have been paid out to stockholders are enormous. Warren Buffett was, for one, who bought BNSF outright a decade ago, will state unequivocally that his investment has paid off to him way more than he even expected it to. The wealth that has been accumulated by these rail carriers over the last quarter century, while they have moved less freight than they did 16 years ago, shippers from practically every major shipping group that ships by rail is in a state of total discontent. They have complained vociferously to the Surface Transportation Board, demanding better service. The rail industry has gouged their customers. They've shed themselves of about a third of their employees in the last 6 years. And they've basically pissed off just about everybody in the country except for their stockholders. And now we come down to the wire and contract negotiations where literally what separates the parties is a handful of sick time that most workers actually have achieved decades and decades ago. But railroad workers have traditionally gone without. And we finally have said enough is enough. We want a handful of sick days. And yet the rail carriers see fit to dig in their heels. These Fortune 500 companies who have made, like I say, record profits these last 25 years and refuse to give us anything. And unfortunately, the Biden administration is incapable of siding unequivocally with us as the most labor-friendly president ever. We would have expected that from him. So there's a lot of upset and a lot of discontent right now amongst the working railroaders.
That's right.
So there's your buddy Joe Biden screwing over hard workers. They wanted a handful of days off. They won't give it to him. That's all they were asking for. Here's who voted against it. Judy Chu,
California.
She's my representative in Pasadena. Mark DeSaunier from California. Jared Goldman, Golden from Maine, Donald Norcross from New Jersey, Mary Peltola from Alaska, Mark Pocan, former chair of the Progressive Caucus, co-chair of the Progressive Caucus, who goes on that show with, what's that guy's name? Anyway, it doesn't matter. Rashid Tlaib and Norma Torres. So those are the people. Look at Rashid Tlaib voting against it. I wonder why. I wonder why these people. Well, she's from Michigan, so maybe that had something to do with it. I don't know, but House passes rail contract. So this was also. Look at this. So you know that Truth Out, right? That website Truth Out. I often get it confused with Truth Dig, which is different. But I always thought Truth Out was super lefty. Look at their headline, Craig. Yeah. House passes rail contract with 7 days paid sick leave in win for workers. Mm-hmm. I'm like, well, maybe that was just, so maybe you can't blame it on the journalist who wrote this. Maybe it's just the stupid headline, which just gets written by the editor. So I'm like, well, maybe it was a stupid editor. So I go and I read the first paragraph. No. It says, in a win for workers, the House passed a resolution on Wednesday to force the adoption of a railroad labor contract. How could you in any means call that a win for workers? You just took their ability to strike, their ability to organize and bargain for themselves. You just took it away. That's not a win for the workers. That's a loss, big loss. And over at Truth Out, they're pretending it's a win. I don't know what the fuck's going on over at Truth Out, but that's garbage. And could you find out who wrote this? I forget. So there it is. There they are. You know, it's end times when Marco Rubio is the guy who's sticking up for workers. This is like what Bill Murray warned about in Ghostbusters at the end of times. Human sacrifice, dogs and cats living together. Marco Rubio backing the workers. And by the way, so it's going to go to the Senate now. Do you know what the average what's the median wealth in the U.S. Senate, Craig? You want to take a guess? What's the median wealth?
Right. I'm going to take a guess. I'm going to say the salary is probably about $180,000, but I'm going to say the wealth is about $4.5 million per representative.
The median, meaning there's half of them have more wealth and half of them have less. $1.76 million.
All right.
The average pay for a male railroad worker, $62,000.
That's ridiculous.
The average pay for women is $42,000.
Even more ridiculous.
And they want more. Sharon Zhang is the person who wrote that for Truth Out. What in the F is going on? Who wrote this? What in the F is going on with her? That's nuts. That's the exact opposite of the reality. They got screwed. Yeah. And later in this article, they even say, like, about 12 paragraphs down, they say the unions are upset with it. How could that be your lead sentence if the unions are upset with it? Wow. I hope Biden sticks it to these freeloader frickin' railroad workers and signs that, huh? Freeloaders. At least the railroad workers can get abortions, right? But they won't be able to afford the gas to get them to the clinic. Hey, you know, here's another great way you can help support the show is you become a premium member. We give you a couple of hours of premium bonus content every week, and it's a great way to help support the show. You can do it by going to jimmydorecomedy.com, clicking on Join Premium. It's the most affordable premium program in the business, and it's a great way to help put your thumb back in the eye of the bastards. Thanks for everybody who was already a premium member. And if you haven't, you're missing out. We give you lots of bonus content. Thanks for your support. This happened at the White House briefing room, and this should scare you. This should scare you. These are reporters. And they're acting more like I remember that sketch, the church lady. That's what these people are acting like. They're afraid of what this country is founded on. And what is this country founded on? Freedom. And freedom scares them, especially the First Amendment. They really hate the First Amendment. Here, watch this.
Moment, really, in terms of ensuring that Twitter does not become a vector for misinformation.
she's afraid that she says, what are you doing to make sure that Twitter doesn't become a vector of misinformation? Boy, these guys really, here we go.
Moment, really, in terms of ensuring that Twitter does not become a vector for misinformation. I mean, are you concerned about the, you know, Elon Musk says there's more and more subscribers coming online. Are you concerned about that? And what tools do you have? Who is it at the White House that is really keeping track of this?
Oh my, who is keeping track of it? Who, people are talking on Twitter. Are you aware of this? That right now people are being allowed to speak freely on a social media platform. What? I just don't even know what to say about the, what are you, they're talking about this like it's a class 5 hurricane. Imagine if these hacks showed the same concern about possibility of a nuclear war with Russia and China instead of being sexually aroused by the possibility. So watch the answer. Watch the answer. Now, the woman who's going to answer is an immigrant. She's female. She's of color and she's gay. Watch how she handles this question.
Moment, really, in terms of ensuring that Twitter does not become a vector for misinformation. I mean, are you concerned about the, you know, Elon Musk says there's more and more subscribers coming online. Are you concerned about that? And what tools do you have? Who is it at the White House that is really keeping track of this?
So, look, this is something that we're certainly keeping an eye on. And look, we have always been very clear and that when it comes to social media platforms, it is their responsibility to make sure that when it comes to misinformation, when it comes to the hate that we're seeing, that they take action, that they continue to take action. Again, we're all keeping a close eye on this. We're all monitoring what's currently occurring.
The White House is keeping a close eye and monitoring people speaking freely on Twitter. They're monitoring it. By the way, the biggest liars of misinformation are her and the government, okay? Her, Joe Biden. Remember when Joe Biden keeps saying that his kid died in Iraq? Joe Biden keeps saying, said that if you get the vaccine, you're not going to get COVID. So these people, I mean, they lie. Joe Biden's the biggest liar in the world. He's a better and bigger liar than Trump. I know that sounds crazy, but I have the receipts. I can show it to you anytime you want. These are the people who are keeping an eye on Americans talking amongst themselves. We're going to keep an eye. You know, that's called Big Brother. And we're watching you. That's what that is. We're watching you.
And we see it with our own eyes of what you all are reporting and just for ourselves, what's happening on Twitter.
We see it. We see people talking and using free speech and enjoying the protections of the First Amendment. We see it. And it's upsetting. We see people speaking freely in the United States and it's upsetting. We see it. Isn't it nice to have a woman of color who's gay and an immigrant be a fascist and censorious and take away your freedom of speech? Isn't that fun? It's so much better than having a straight white guy do it. It's less offensive.
But again, social media companies have a responsibility to prevent their platforms from being used by any user to incite violence, especially violence directed at individual communities.
Yeah, that's already done, but it's already being done. That's already in the law. You don't need Twitter. If somebody is doing something that's illegal on Twitter, don't you think the law enforcement should get involved? Or do you want some jagoff from Silicon Valley, who nobody knows, to take care of it? If somebody's breaking the law, don't we have law enforcement agencies to take care of that? The answer is yes, we do.
As we have been seeing, and the president has been very clear on calling that out, he'll continue to do that, and we're going to continue to monitor the situation. Go ahead, Phil.
I don't know which one makes me more ill, a journalist asking a question that almost begs for censorship, or that the government admitting it is keeping an eye on Twitter, especially since it's going to be investigated for previously being in cahoots with Twitter to censor users. The government, Apple, Amazon, and Google united in controlling the flow of information. The merger between state and corporate power. Hey, what's it called? What's that called when corporations and the state merge to screw over? I can't remember. It sounds like fascism or something. That's right. Or maybe it's called the Great Reset. Here's a friend of the show, Jay Bhattacharya, says, the Biden administration is hostile to basic civil rights guaranteed in the First Amendment. The most important source of health misinformation is the Biden administration itself. It's far past the time to end the American censorship regime. They don't care about misinformation. Politicians don't care about misinformation, you dupe. They're the ones who, they want to be able to control the narrative. That's all this is about. It's about the establishment, the oligarchy, the corporate media controlling the narrative. So you don't get to ever question, hey, did the virus come from the Wuhan lab? You're a racist. Why? Because the establishment doesn't want you to know where the virus came from because they funded it. So they call you a racist and say you're a misinformer, and they call you a conspiracy theorist and smear you. And the people who did all that lying, nothing ever happens to those people. Fauci, the government, the people in corporate media, nothing ever happens to those people. Everyone pretends Joe Rogan's the asshole, even though he got everything right. So, and so let me bring in Craig. Craig, what?
I don't know, Jimmy. I think you're underestimating what KJP is saying over here. I mean, just the other day, Congresswoman Sheila Jackson from Texas said that words are violence. And, you know, I'm joining the likes of Moby and Jim Carrey, and I'm going to ban Twitter and boycott it and get out of there and listen to Alyssa Milano. And, you know, so what if they took Garland Nixon down and they don't want the doctors up? I mean, they're a bunch of quacks. This is misinformation, and we need to fight it, Jimmy. It can't be underestimated over here.
Yeah. So Elon Musk said this, the Twitter file. So this happened, that little exchange happened right after this. The Twitter files on free speech suppression soon to be published on Twitter itself. The public deserves to know what really happened. So he's threatening, this got 800,000 likes. He's claiming that he's going to make public the algorithm they and the methods they use to censor people. That's what that says, right?
Somewhat. He's going to show what they use, the way the government colluded with big tech, the Biden administration. He's not really showing us what we need to see, and that's the algorithm overall.
Oh, so he's not going to show us the algorithm, but he will show the collusion between the government and the former administration at Twitter?
Exactly. Red meat.
Okay. Jake Shields says, I would love to see how they used shadow banning. Me too. Because I know I'm shadow banned. Mm-hmm. So here was Twitter. Michael Tracy got this Twitter policy before 2015. So here it is. But he condense it. Basically, it says no direct threats of violence. Beyond that, Twitter doesn't mediate disputes between users or remove offensive content. If you feel a law was broken, contact the frickin' police. That's basically what this says. It says Twitter provides a global communication platform which encompasses a variety of users with different voices, ideas, and perspectives. As a policy, we do not mediate content or intervene in disputes between users. So you may not make direct specific threats of violence. This is all just the First Amendment law. And they say down here, if you believe content or behavior you're reporting is prohibited in your local jurisdiction, please contact your local authorities. There's already laws on the books for all this stuff. You don't need extra laws on Twitter. And what they've done is they very sneakily, this is the sleight of hand that the establishment has done, is they've equated free speech with hate speech. So if you're for free speech, you're against minority groups, because then people will be able to hurl hate speech at them. And so you should be against free speech because it hurts minority groups. Do you see what utter garbage that is? Do you know who they want? The only thing minority groups have is their speech. That's their power. And so what they really want to do is make sure the minority opinion doesn't get heard. They're not trying to protect minorities. They want to make sure marginalized people don't have a voice, because those are the people that get censored. They're not going to use censorship against the fucking establishment, against corporate media lying or billionaire funded media lying. They're going to use it against marginalized groups who are going against the status quo, are going against the establishment. People like whoever would want to protest. Like right now, it would be those railroad strikers. They would use that to shut them down under the guise of protecting minorities from hate speech. It's not like, so then get this. He goes, it's not like Twitter was run by a bunch of conservative Republicans in 2015. It was still generically liberal, but this was pre-2016 election. That he's talking about these rules. This was pre-2016 election when everything really went haywire. Today, these generic liberal policies would get castigated as far right or extremists. So again, we didn't change. It's the Democratic Party and the establishments that shifted to the right. They became right wingers. So now if you say you're for free speech, they call you a right winger. That's exact. First, I've told you, hopefully if you're a new viewer, they'll never engage you. If you're on the left of someone, of a Democrat, the first thing they do is they don't engage your idea. They first smear you and slander you as a right winger. That's the first thing they do. And then they'll misrepresent your ideas, and then maybe they'll engage you. And so this is what he's saying. He's saying, hey, the same thing that people like me are standing up for is what the policy of Twitter was before the Donald Trump election of 2016. But now if you're for that thing that all the lefties embraced, now you're a right winger. Might be clever for Elon Musk to just copy and paste the 2015 policy. And then when the cries of fascists inevitably rain down on him, simply ask if Twitter was institutionally fascist in 2015. Were they? You mean you guys didn't care it was fascist back then? You only care now? Michael, that was back when we thought Hillary was going to win. Before what we now call Sam Harris's 9/11. That's when that was. It sounds crazy to say this, but I'm pretty sure America went more batshit after Trump won than after 9/11. And I say that only because I remember corporate media occasionally not lying in the aftermath of 9/11. Elon Musk responds to Michael Tracy saying that he should just copy and paste the role. And he goes, that makes sense. And let me just read you this. By the way, you know the biggest misinformation. Here's CNN outright lying about, they had the doctor his photo. They made him, this is what he looked like when he had COVID. This is what they made him look like he was dying. You remember when they did that? And they lied about ivermectin at the top of their lungs. The biggest misinformers is the government and the corporate media. They'll lie about someone who's actually, so this is a marginalized voice in the COVID narrative, in the COVID debate. There was no COVID debate because Joe Rogan tried to have one and they shut him down. They lied about him. They smeared him. They said he was sicker than he was. They lied about ivermectin. They lied about early treatments. They lied about everything. Let me read you this. There must be no barriers to freedom of inquiry. There is no place for dogma in science. The scientist is free and must be free to ask any question. Any question. Like, where did the virus come from? A lab? Hey, what's natural immunity about? Hey, what's herd immunity about? Hey, what is the, is this a non-sterilizing? Hey, does this actually work? Hey, where's the data? That kind of questions that you weren't allowed to ask during COVID. Hey, where's the science on lockdowns? Where's the science on masks? Where's the science on these on the jab? Where's the science on all this? You weren't allowed to ask any of those questions. And the people who were immediately discredited in the press, the corporate press that is owned by Big Pharma, and dismissed as a kook. People who are the leading scientists and doctors in their fields were dismissed and called kooks. Why? Because they were the leading people in their fields, and Dr. Fauci couldn't have reputable people disagreeing with him publicly, so they had to immediately smear them and discredit them. That's what the government does. They're not there to protect free speech. So the scientist is free and must be free to ask any question, to doubt any assertion, to seek for any evidence, to correct any errors. Our political life is also predicated on openness. We know that their only way to avoid error is to detect it, and the only way to detect it is to be free to inquire. And we know that as long as men are free to ask what they must, free to say what they think, free to think what they will, freedom can never be lost, and science can never regress. Now, let me bring in Craig. Craig, what do you have to say about all this?
Well, I'm just curious to where you guys are at when you think or talk about Elon Musk. You know, there's a lot of this stuff, you know, what Mike Tracy pointed out. Mike Tracy has a lot of work. He was old school going after the Bilderberg group and, you know, doing a lot of reports on that. But, you know, you look at the situation, all this happened after 2015, 2016. And it just makes me think about Trump and Musk and where we are today, because people really did have TDS. And then all of a sudden, when it came to our speech, you got just heavily smeared, demonetized, and suppressed. If you talked about elections, you were a domestic terrorist. If you stood up against Ukraine, the aid to Ukraine, you were an anti-LGBT person. You're allowing, you know, a fascist leader like Putin get away with it. If it is makes sense, if this does make sense, why hasn't he done it already? Why are the doctors still demonetized? Why are they still their accounts haven't been installed? The McCulloughs, the Malones, all these people who don't have accounts, you know, why haven't they done that? And then I constantly look at what Elon Musk has talked about. You know, he's constantly talked about WeChat in China. And WeChat is one of these apps which allows you to do everything, pay for everything. It's, you know, buy things, order things, converse with people. It's like one app to control it all. So as this thing is going on, I'm just wondering and curious where you guys are at. And we have these talks about this all the time with our friends. Is like, what do you think Musk's motives really are? I mean, is he all about bringing about free speech? Why did people like Garland Nixon's, you know, accounts get suspended? Why haven't people come back? So, I mean, right now I just look at the whole situation and I still think it's just theater played out in front of us for eventually more control down the road. I don't see this, you know, maybe a little bit right now where we're pointing out certain things, what Musk is doing, but I don't foresee us really having free speech online in the near future.
Well, you know what, we're going to have a bigger discussion about this in our next segment, because our next segment is all about the people who've been unbanned from Twitter recently. So we'll get more into that. I don't have high hopes for Musk, but I'll take any hope wherever I can get. He's obviously a billionaire oligarch who's in bed with the military industrial complex. So he's not going to be, and he hasn't mentioned Julian Assange. So anyway, yeah. So, this should scare the shit out of everyone. When you see reporters, begging the government to censor, and the government saying that we're going to. But we see what's going on. We see people out there doing free speech. Like, what in the F? And they're begging for it. This is Jimmy. Who's this?
Jimmy, this is Senator Chuck Schumer of New York.
Oh, Chucky the Shoom. Are you calling because you're jubilant about something?
Well, yes, as a matter of fact. How did you know?
Because every time you call, you're doing it to gloat about something that the Senate did, and then I try to turn it around on you and make you feel bad in some way.
Yes, that is true. Quite frankly, I don't know why I keep engaging with you. Oh, well, you have a lot of listeners. I need to get the Democratic message across.
What are you jubilant about this time?
Jimmy, did you hear? you heard the good news?
What?
The Senate just passed the Respect for Marriage Act.
Yes.
By a very sizable margin, I might add.
Yeah, all right, right. Mm-hmm.
Love is love, Jimmy. And these measures will protect both same-sex marriage and interracial marriage. Any mixed marriages.
Yeah.
Are you a Methodist married to a Catholic? Well, good news. You can take that trip to Arizona now. You're welcome.
That's great, Chuck. Now codify abortion rights. How about that?
Oh, Jesus Christ. Already with this shit? Can't you let me have a little measure of triumph here?
The American people want to see you fighting for the hard stuff, Senator Schumer.
Yeah, well, that one's maybe too hard.
Or how about championing workers' rights and unions? Rail workers are getting to have, having them get paid sick leave. Is that one too hard, too?
Jimmy, the prospect of a transportation shutdown this close to the holiday season just isn't something that...
Oh, don't give me that. It's a disgrace.
I'll tell you what's a disgrace.
What?
A former U.S. president and future presidential candidate sitting down to dinner with avowed anti-Semites.
Okay, but that's not what we're talking about.
Well, we are now. I am here to give a full-throated condemnation of the vicious tropes of anti-Semitism and urge all my colleagues on both sides of the aisle to do the same.
I see what you're doing there, but it's not going to work, Chuck.
Dinner, Jimmy. He dined. The third and arguably fanciest meal of the day. Not that coffee and a croissant would have been fine or anything, but dinner? Trump supped with these racists. He broke bread with bigots.
Hey, with all due respect, Mr. Senator, I think any story involving Kanye West is probably a distraction.
Kanye West. Don't get me started. What the hell went wrong with him? He always seemed like such a level-headed cat. He needs to have a come-to-Jesus moment about these anti-Semitisms he's doing.
Okay.
And that other person, that Nick Fuentes or whoever, I don't really know who he is, but I'm hopping mad about it, as every American should be.
I thought you called to talk about the Senate.
Yes, like I said, every senator should condemn Trump and his scandalous affair, toot sweet.
Democrats always seem to have Trump to pivot to. Whatever is this, his latest outrage is, whenever they aren't successfully fighting for the average American, and people are noticing now.
I know, right? He's like Old Faithful. We can always count on him. He's a real blessing in a way. Otherwise, we'd be yelling about George Bush and his watercolors. I don't think that would be as effective.
So happy for you guys that you have Trump.
What about you, Jimmy?
What about me?
Do you condemn anti-Semitism?
Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ.
Well, I'm waiting.
Yes, of course. I condemn all forms of bigotry, asshole.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay. Well, we'll see.
We'll see what?
Do you condemn the Trump anti-Semitism feast?
I don't care what Donald Trump does, Chuck.
Well, that in itself is anti-Semitic.
No, it's not. That's an unfair accusation.
Wait a minute. Are you trying to tell me what is and what is not anti-Semitism?
I mean, yeah.
Not so keen to spew your lefty lefters and talking points when I got you on your heels, are you, my friend? You're so busy trying to defend yourself, you forgot all about the Democratic agenda. See? I have some tricks up my sleeve, too, Mr. Wise Guy. The days of you turning these conversations around on me are over, Buster Brown.
All right, whatever you say, Chuck.
You people? Who do you mean exactly, you people?
I didn't say you people.
But you implied it.
All right, Senator, I gotta go.
I've got my eyes on you, door.
Yeah. Okay, fuck off. That's it for this week. You be the best you can be, and I'll keep being me.
Listeners, don't want to use the website or the call center to contribute to WBAI? That's okay. Please feel free to send your check or money order to WBAI, 3rd floor, 388 Atlantic Avenue.